Good afternoon, everyone. Could you do a roll call for us, Patricia?
Certainly, Director Duncan. Present, Director Salzman.
Present.
Secretary Lee.
Present.
Vice President Young.
Present.
And President Simon.
Present. Go ahead and do the Pledge of Allegiance. And leading us to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay. Next is general public. We have no one present in person. Do we have anyone online? No one online. Great. Next, we'll move to the consent calendar. Do any of the directors have questions or comments? Okay, no. Do I have a motion to approve?
This is Director Lee. I'd like to move the consent calendar.
Director Stelzman, second the motion.
We're first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes unanimous. Thanks. Next, we'll go ahead and move to introduction of our new employee. Jimmy?
So just for clarification, Joseph Carlini is not necessarily a new employee. He was a plant operator here and got the promotion to operations manager. So I wanted to introduce him today officially to the board. Joe Carlini has come from a background of a lot of wastewater treatment plant experience, including work done in West Palm Beach, Florida, City of Tulare, both at the assistant public works director level and the director of public works level. And the one thing that really made him stand out of all the candidates is that he has nutrient removal experience. Being that the Bay Area is not there yet on the nutrient removal side and that we have already upgraded our treatment plant, he brought tremendous experience to the plant. He's actually turned the plant around in the last several weeks as the acting operations manager while we're looking for the permanent. So I'd like to take this opportunity to either have the board introduce themselves first or have Mr. Carlini say a few things first, either way.
Maybe we'll go ahead and introduce ourselves. You may already know us, but just a quick introduction. I'm Fred Simon. I'm the president, and I've been on the board going on 5 years now. And I live in Heron Bay right next door. Love this organization. It's a great place, great people. And Joe, I've seen you in action already. I know what you're capable of. I know what you can do. I went to go visit the plant before on Christmas, before that major storm, just to say hi to the guys and gals at Christmas. And I saw Joe getting ready. Didn't know the big one was going to be that big, but still very impressed and congratulations. Yes, we'll go down the line.
Thank you. Sheila Young, I'm probably the senior member of the board.
Deb, say it again. Thank you. And I forget often to turn on my microphone. I've been here since 2014, and I think I've run into you before, but welcome aboard as the new plant. What's the title?
Operations manager.
Operations manager, sorry. Want to make sure we get that right. I know the staff is very happy with you, so welcome aboard.
I'm Director Lee. I'm Secretary of the Board. I'm actually starting the fourth year of my service on the board. Prior to that, I served as the council member for City of San Leandro for 8 years, two terms, and along with some of my colleagues to the right of me. And I want to welcome you aboard. We have a great team in Orloma, and I know that you're going to help us make it better.
Good afternoon. I want to congratulate you on your promotion. You're not a new employee, but it's great for us to be able to promote our employees. I am Rita Duncan, and I've been on the board for 7 years, since 2016. And congratulations again to your promotion.
Hi, Joseph. My name is Paul Stelzman. It's my fourth year on this board. I live locally here in San Lorenzo Village. And as you might know, I also have an operations background. I work for East Bay Mud on the drinking water side. So I do know how invaluable that experience is, that hands-on experience is. And I think that will bring a lot to the the management team, having that in that knowledge base. And congratulations to you. Welcome to the management team.
The last 5 have been with Oraloma, and I love this place. I love the people. We have a great, great team. I'm talking all divisions and the board. I can't be more pleased of where I am in my life at this point. I love Jimmy. It's a great place. You created a great place. That's all I got to say.
Welcome. And we look forward to lots of good things. Thank you.
No, Bill said you have to stay for the whole meeting, you know. It's part of the deal when you're in management.
Okay with that.
I know. You want to get out of that suit.
Get out of your jacket.
Yeah.
Not the time.
I'll come back. I'm going to get out of your jacket.
Oh. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks.
See you. Good night. Okay, next we'll go ahead and move to staff presentation. Item 7.1, review of district lift stations.
Yes. Let's see here. So at the request of the board, there was a discussion or request of the board to have a presentation on all the lift stations that we have in the district and what they look like from a street view and whether or not there's an opportunity to increase or improve their aesthetics around each neighborhood. So what I put together today is an overview of what the lift stations are, what they do, how many people they serve, and generally what the front looks like, and kind of part of the reason why they look the way they do in some cases and in other cases, mainly for maintenance and for access. So as mentioned, today the objective is to potentially have the board give direction to the staff on developing a policy for some type of beautification of the lift stations. I don't necessarily know what that looks like yet, but that would be, today would be the start of that discussion. Things to consider when making this, giving this direction to staff is beautification of lift stations comes with identifying budget. You know, part of my responsibility is to identify budget, what the scope looks like, the timeline that the board is looking for, and then also identify any maintenance requirements to that, to any additions we make to lift stations. This is a map of the district, and we have 12 lift stations in the district. Most of them reside up in the Fairview area, up in this east side of the district here, that's noted in those little small purple dots. But we do have some scattered in the flat areas near the Man area, all along East 14th, and then the Bachman area. Quick overview, I'm sure most of you already know this. Lift stations, what do? They basically pump the wastewater up to a higher elevation so that we can keep going a longer distance horizontally to get to the treatment plant. If you can imagine your house a mile away at a slope of 0.5% of sewer gravity coming all the way down a mile, eventually by the time you get here, you may be 50 feet below ground. So you have to have, it's not feasible to dig 50 feet below ground to install sewer. So we install pump stations where those sewers intersect at the pump station, the pumps in those pump stations pump them back up to a higher elevation, and from there they feed by gravity again for a certain distance before they get too low again, and therefore has to get pumped up again. So, which is why you don't necessarily see a sewer district that has a really large geographical area that they service. If they do, like Sacramento Regional, they have hundreds of lift stations, right, to be able to convey the sewer across many, many, many miles to get to the treatment plant. Sewer lift stations come with a set of pumps. They have valving, they have piping. They usually have what we call a wet well, which is where the sewage comes into. Valve vault, some have backup generators in case we lose power due to PG&E outages. And they have instrumentation and level sensors, and also backup sensors as well, what we call floats. And you can see it in this photo here. We have the two pumps, the force mains that come up through a set of valves. And from this point on, it becomes gravity. We typically have an ultrasonic level sensor, which reads the level of the sewage inside that wet well. If that ever fails, we have these blue, what we call mechanical floats. And as soon as those floats, when the water fills up, kind of like in your toilet, once that float flips upside down, it's a trigger. It triggers what level that of water there is inside that wet well, and it triggers the pumps to turn on and off depending on what level it is. So that is purely for backup in case we lose the level sensor. Just a last shot of inside the wet well. It's not pretty. It's basically sewage. Sometimes we have a grease ring around it, depending on what people flush down or dump down their drains. Maintenance is out twice a week to all the lift stations to service all the lift stations, hose down the wet well, test all the pumps, make sure there's nothing that could clog the pumps and so forth, and test the signal and make sure that everything works correctly. Okay, so here we go. The first lift station is Blackstone. This is what the front of the lift station looks like. It's next to a PG&E easement. It's at the end of a court down the hill in the Blackstone community, up very, very, probably pretty far up in our district. And we have our...
That in Fair?
I believe so. I don't remember the neighborhood name, but this is what it looks like. So we have a double gate. Inside is our wet well with the pumps, along with this green panel, green cabinet, which has all our electrical gear inside. This pump station serves 13 homes. That's it. It is in Fairview. Thank you, Patricia. Okay.
Yeah, please.
A quick question just about the operation itself. Are these designed so that the Blackstone lift station will ultimately pass by another lift station if it gets low enough that it gets pumped back up? Okay. I just wanted to get that straight.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Just a clarifying question. You said 13 residents or 13 households?
13 single-family units.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Did you show them a map where this is approximately?
So this one is number 13. So that is right there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's back up in the corner of Fairview.
Up in the hill. Yeah.
Cemetery?
It's past the cemetery. It's up that street.
It's up Fairview. Right.
Okay.
I knew.
I should have printed out this map for you guys so we don't have to go back and forth. That's okay. Okay. Any questions on Blackstone?
Are there houses on this cul-de-sac?
I'm sorry?
This is a cul-de-sac?
Yes.
Is there houses behind it?
There's houses to the right and houses to the left.
Houses can see this?
Yes.
Okay.
But none behind it?
Nothing behind it. I believe it's open space. This to the right is a fire road, and that's accessible by Alameda County Fire and so forth. This is Bachman Lift Station right here on Bachman Road. At when you go past the railroad tracks from the district, you make a ride in Bachman. It's about six blocks down the street. This station is one of our larger ones. It serves 2,123 households or single family units. There's a larger lift station. There's two large pumps in there. There is a bar screen in there, which is like a pre-screen of larger material. So our guys do go out there and make sure that they clean those off every time we go out and perform a maintenance visit. This was built, one thing I did want to mention, Blackstone was built in 1995 when the development went in. Bachman was put in 1952. So it's one of our older lift stations, and it's been through three significant renovations, one in 64, 89, and in 2005.
We have put, you know, I notice sometimes when I drive by there, cars parked on top of that, is it? Is that an issue when I say on top of that, on the cement and stuff?
Yeah, so typically when I drain by, it's our vehicles that are parked to try to service. We have put up signs that say no parking so that if they do park and we see it, we can get it towed.
So I know it wasn't our vehicle. I would have known that.
We see it, we'll know, we'll try to figure it out and at least have the courtesy to get them to move it. But if we can't find the owner, we'll get it towed.
I mean, what year was this again?
52.
And the last upgrade was when?
2005.
In 2005, is that when they did the architectural stone work?
Yes.
Looks nice. And is there noise? It's really close to homes. Do they have noise? Any noise complaints or odor complaints from anybody?
We've had odor complaints from the house to the right there with that tree, but we've never had a noise complaint.
The tree, how many odor complaints? Is it continual or do we have?
It's a rental. So the owner called about 3 times during the rental period, claiming that he couldn't get a renter because of the smell, but eventually got a renter and I never heard back from him. Okay. Next is Canyon Drive Lift Station. This is a big one as well. This one serves 1,020 homes, and this was constructed in 1995, and it's had 4 separate repairs and renovations done to it, one in 98, 2002, 2004, and one larger one in 2020. This is at the bottom of a canyon, so you can't see this from, no one can see this station. But there's a fire road that comes down the hill, which is where our truck, our vehicle is here. And it goes back up the hill to the fire road that was at Canyon Lift Station. That's where it starts. Canyon Ridge. Canyon Ridge is a small little lift station that serves 75 single family units. And it was constructed in 1997. There are homes. The closest home is this home behind this red wood fence. And behind us, where we're standing, is about 4 homes that can see this portion of the lift station.
Sour trees.
I think so. Yes. Well, they're outside of the fence line.
It's on our property.
I believe so. Yeah, we have landscapers that go out there.
The ones behind it, the tall ones?
At least the ones in the front. I'm not sure about these tall ones. In the back.
This is the bottom of 5 Canyons development. Is that where this is?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Next is Clawson Lift Station. This one is also at the very end of our district. This serves 28 single family units, and this was built in 1986. This is the closest home to it. This one here with the retaining wall. And this is in a cul-de-sac where there's a T-turn cul-de-sac for fire access and fire turnaround. And that's really it for this one. This is a small one, so it's very compact. The pumps are in this wet well. There's a 2-inch force main that comes out, makes a turn, and goes up the hill and dumps into another maintenance hole. It's a very short run, and the control panels in here with the electrical panels and the backup battery in this unit here.
Odo, are there any bollards that protect that appurtenance at all?
There are no bollards at this location. We haven't had any issues with vehicles damaging our lift stations since I've been here.
So is that at the end of the cul-de-sac, or is that the last house?
This is the last one. Mm-hmm.
No. Can you show this one on a map?
This one is right here, right here. Very, very edge.
Down at the bottom right. Where the cursor is. So, so far, all of them have been in Fairview that you've shared.
Bachman,
for Bachman.
Right. Right.
Okay. Next is Deer Trail. This one is, the wet well is right here in this gray concrete area with this black top, and our control panel is right here on the left side.
And that's our property, that little wedge?
Property with the asphalt, yes. And Deer Trail serves 6 homes. It's at the bottom of a cul-de-sac, and it pumps up a hill right into our gravity line. And this was constructed in 1984, and has gone through 3 renovations, 95, 2002, and 2018.
Correct. Am I correct? Didn't you say that the lift station itself is turned?
Well, the control panels are turned, but the pumps pump up street towards us. Yes. Yeah. The control panels can be located anywhere on the property.
And it's, you said it services 6 homes?
Correct.
Fairview?
Let me say yes. I apologize. I don't know exactly all the... I can definitely provide a map and the lift station names and
every
numbers.
Night. Yeah,
and I'll get that. Night. It's in the presentation in your packet.
It is the bottom.
Yeah, of Fairview? Okay, thank you.
Well, it's not, remember we told them that they didn't have to include all those other materials.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know, I was like,
in the packet
or... we were looking
for
it.
We agreed on
much. I know, but I was still looking.
I'm sorry, I apologize, they're not in the packet. Can you print out the map? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's a nice looking fence at the back of that asphalt. Is that ours as well? Or did the neighbor?
Is it the neighbor's property?
Terrific condition.
Yeah, I mean, you can see we maintain our, you can see we maintain our property with
yeah.
the fresh blacktop.
Does it make any in comparison to that
right.
row in front of it? Oof. It doesn't make any noise, does it?
It turns on, sure. But it's not that loud. The smaller lift stations, all you hear is a whirring, kind of like
like
the washing machine.
No, like my lift station.
Yes.
I have a
like one in the house, yes.
Yeah. That whir, yeah.
Just a
yeah, yeah. The motor, yeah.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
The larger lift stations tend to make a little more noise, but if you're outside of the vault, you barely hear anything. Especially even with the ambient noise of the car driving by, that's louder than anything you'll hear at the lift station. Right. Yeah.
But I was thinking like at night, if your bedroom window is there, if it's, but
oh,
it's a whirring. Okay.
It's in the pit.
In the pit.
It's underground.
Yeah, it's at least 12, 13 feet underground. Next is Monica Lane. This serves 39 multifamily units. Or shall I say single family, but in the multifamily complex. This was built in 1981. And you can see here, this door here on the right is access to one of the residences' garage. And so we have this unit right outside here, which has a roll-up door, which has our electrical panels and our instrumentation panels in that. But our valve vault is here and our wet well is right here in this raised brick area.
This is the one that had a lot of toilet tissue and stuff stuck. I had to talk to...
Yeah, we've had issues here before and we've gone out and definitely maintained them.
When they had the homeowners association meeting, could they remind them that generally rags and stuff did not go down the toilet?
Wipes, no wipes.
This is in Fairview also.
Well, I have a question on this one.
I noticed that we have looks like an antenna on there at the top. Is it communicating with the devices that we have here, or is it communicating somewhere else?
It communicates directly to the treatment plant with the line of sight antenna. So we can monitor when the pumps turn on and off, when we have high level, low level alarms and such. And then when we have a power outage. Okay. Next, we have railroad lift station. This is driving down Grant. Right before the railroad tracks, you make a left turn into that alleyway, that street, and it's at the very end there. It's the property itself inside the fence line is very well maintained, but the street outside is where we have that trash pile along the railroad tracks and homeless in the area, or should I say unhoused? I believe that's the correct term these days. This station was built in 1963, so one of our older ones, and it was retrofitted back in 1998. It serves 672 homes.
Does it serve Heron Bay?
Yes. So Heron Bay, their pipeline, and the whole neighborhood across this canal goes into a line, a sewer line, gravity line, into this lift station. And this pumps up to a gravity line, our main trunk line in, on Grant Avenue, and it ends up at our plant.
We have a line that crosses under the canal or the creek.
Correct.
And how's the maintenance of that line under the creek? And what type of material is it?
Probably a clay line, but I have to double check in the GIS. Thank you.
Where that this was built? When it was first
built? This was built in 1963.
And is that shed ours?
Shed. This tan? This is a masonry building.
Oh.
Yeah, this picture is deceiving, but it's a structural building, masonry, it's
It looks like a shed. I'm sorry.
That's the pump house.
Yes. This one has a backup generator inside as well.
From a security perspective, everything's inside.
Right.
Is it vandalized, stolen?
Well, Karen, there really isn't anything in there that anyone would want. You can try to steal a pump. You can't get to it without heavy equipment. Electrical, if you try to get in there, you will electrocute yourself. So it's not worth, there's nothing in there that anyone would want that they could even sell, quite honestly.
Yeah. What I'm seeing at the marina, even though it's closed down, can't get electrocuted because it's closed down, but they're stealing the wiring out of the buildings and things.
Not a shed, okay.
Okay, so there's a 21-inch reinforced concrete pipe coming into that lift station. So the pipe should be in great condition without diving into the report.
All of that fence?
Feet? With barbed wire on top?
The reason I asked that is, you know, sometimes people don't want stuff. They just want to cause trouble. Especially young people.
Vandalism, yeah.
I mean, maybe I should say delinquents.
Next is down near Rita's neighborhood, or Director Duncan's neighborhood, Ralston Lift Station, Ralston Court. This one was built in 2013. Yep, and was upgraded in 2020 with new communication equipment. This serves 42 homes.
That's when I had to get my lift station.
Did that service your home?
No, I have my own lift station because we put in that one.
Yes.
In my backyard.
Duncan lift.
Yes, those are. Yes, I believe Director Duncan and her neighbors along that street all have their own privately owned lift stations.
Because we're low and the monkey bridge that we had that was gravity bed thought they felt that it was it really was a risk to the district as far as you know, putting sewage into the San Lorenzo Creek and on down into the bay. So the five of us was negotiated into getting lift stations in our backyard.
It really is the Duncan lift station.
This is Sean Court. This one, as you can see, is on a narrow pathway. We can back our trucks up right up over the wet well or service the electrical equipment inside of those panels. And this is also in the cul-de-sac. This was built in 1988 and was retrofitted in 2004 and 2018. And it serves 27 units for single family homes.
Sort of a silly question. If it was built in 88, upgraded in 04, why was it upgraded again in 18 if it's relatively new?
So it depends on what we're upgrading. So in 2004, we installed new pumps and new mounting brackets and new piping. In 2018, we coated the concrete well inside, which was not previously coated in the past. So it just depends on what the work is that's taking place. Next is Trojan Lift Station. This is in the manual. That is it. That is our lift station. This was built in...
Is that why they call it Trojan? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't...
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't mean that.
This was built in 1950, one of our older lift stations. It was retrofitted in 1986, 96, 2001, 2014, and 2017. This serves 3,552 homes.
4,000?
Sorry, both of you spoke at the same time. Yes.
3,000?
3,552. It's a big lift station, yes. Yes, this lift station has four pumps. So this is one of our larger lift stations. And this tower you see here is what we call a surge tower. And what that does is it basically maintains or relieves the pressure when the pumps kick on so that you're not surging the pressure in the force main itself because it's such a large lift station with so many pumps on it. So what happens is when you start those pumps and you start enough of them at the same time, that's tied into the force main, and the water comes up that pipe as a way to relieve the pressure in the force main itself. It's an older design. Newer lift stations now have pneumatic tanks. So essentially a large pressurized vessel with the bladder inside, a rubber bladder, and that bladder expands or contracts to try to relieve the pressure in the force main. So yeah, because this is so old, that was the technology at that time.
This is artificial turf in the front, I believe?
It's the artificial turf in the front, correct.
Okay. And the right side, is that brown? It's brown. And why that would be brown?
I'm not sure.
Are complaints from this one, like odor or noise complaints, often?
We don't know.
Well, Bachman, this one.
We had the one neighbor. This one, we haven't had any complaints. We've had complaints here during construction, and that's even though it was worked during the day, you know, during those years that they were being retrofitted. But other than that, during normal operation, we don't get any complaints here.
What's the one that Howard and Bob Glaze both have issues with?
I don't know. That was before.
This is near Bob's house.
I know.
I mean, Jason handled those. I'm not sure what. Yeah.
Obviously, no problem now.
Well, this pump station is kind of what initiated this discussion and why I kind of brought up looking at these pump stations is in the neighborhood, neighbors are trying to beautify and get more trees in the neighborhood to help with the heat situation, climate change, beauty looks good. And I guess those are two main reasons. So
I haven't seen one yet that was ugly.
Well, this one, they're asking for trees. The community has asked for a tree because other homes have trees in the neighborhood and there's nothing in the front. So I would...
Trees. I see one tree way in the back.
Well, we're not looking at front of homes. But there is a problem in the manor with people butchering and chopping their trees. Benny has experience with that in our neighborhood, Heron Bay, where people chop trees.
Down themselves?
Yes.
Wow.
And they shouldn't be chopping their trees, but they do. So that would be, once we get into the overall discussion, a request to put in a tree or some type, a little more. We do have two bushes, which is nice. But I think adding a tree would be a nice thing.
But just to calm people down.
Tree? No, I think it's good for the environment. It's good for the neighborhood. It's just a good thing to do as environmental stewards.
The city has a free tree program. Why wouldn't the city of San Diego put in a tree?
Well, it's our property. We could request a free tree.
Because I got two in front of my house, and they very definitely call them public trees, and I have to maintain them.
Right. We'd have to maintain it.
Yeah.
All homeowners do. But yeah, I'm sure we can get a free tree.
Probably deal with it. But that's a discussion for later. I'm
sorry. Yeah.
And our last lift station is Wickman. This one was built in 1971 and serves 60 single family units as part of a apartment complex. And this was renovated in 96, 98, 2015, and 2020.
Oh, this is over off of Llewellyn?
Yes, off of Llewellyn near the Caltrans yard.
Three.
So we have our wet well on the left hatch here. This is a valve vault, and it's in a roundabout, and we have our electrical panels and our backup generator behind this brown fencing. So it's fairly hidden.
How many renovations did you say it was?
This one is renovated four times since 71.
I also thought that this one serves the areas on the other side of the creek because the has to flow down below the creek, and then that's what lifts it up to the main line along the valley. So I was told it doesn't actually serve that Ravenwood complex behind it. It's misleading because it's right next to it, but it's along the San Lorenzo Creek, and the wet well, the well that's as deep is actually pulling from the other side of the creek, whatever houses are there, unless I'm mistaken.
It was like that railroad one for Heron Bay, which is across the creek. Similar concept, maybe.
Well, we had that concept, but we had to get moving.
Looking at the GIS right now. That does serve that complex. Yes, it does. And there's nothing else connected to that.
How many? You said 61 units?
So those are our 12 lift stations.
The lift stations that in the order that you presented them, are they 1 through 12?
No, they're just alphabetical.
So I don't know what lift station 11.
I can get you that list. I'll get you the list. Right, but I'll line up the lift station numbers with the actual names. I'll get you that.
Well, I don't think it's important
enough
for you to spend a lot of time on it.
We have the list. I can print it out for you guys. In fact, I can print it right now.
I have a question before we get it to the beautification portion, if I may. So I know you shared with us, the amount of time certain lift stations have been renovated. So my question, do you have a, for sake of another better word, a maintenance plan for all of them? And okay, and so are they all? Are they all really good and functional before we start beautifying anything? You know, is there any money that's needed to make sure that they're, you know, that their functionality is ongoing?
We have ongoing maintenance at all the lift stations. The renovations that I've listed when I went through the presentation were major capital improvements.
Like, but I was thinking about that Trojan one, that we wouldn't want to bring it up to modern day times, or
as far as the surge protection goes, there's no need because it's functional. There's nothing wrong with the surge tower. It works. Right now, it's just looks like a tower. If there were an issue with the surge tower, we'd look at comparing it to what it would take to install a pneumatic tank, and then evaluate at that point. But right now, there's no issue.
Even if it isn't an issue, we're going to beautify. I mean, to me, that's an eyesore. But
yeah, it's definitely up to the board to give direction on what to do.
Any complaints? Are there any complaints about the visual? I mean, the Chicago aesthetics?
We haven't received any complaints.
What I've received is the
thank you for this.
The tree, making it blend in more to it, because it looks pretty industrial, smashed in between homes. Looks like a smokestack almost, which is not, but so.
So at this juncture, back to the original objective is, now that we have, slight understanding or full understanding, depending on how you look at it, of the lift stations and what they look like, I'm open to comments or suggestions or actually direction from the board on whether or not there's any action that staff may need to implement based on policy, which we don't have right now.
I can start. I just want to give my thoughts on the way I see a few things. Since, as you can see, all 12 have their own characteristics. They're not all the same. Some are serving larger communities. Some are hidden. Some are in plain sight. Some are in residential neighborhoods. So they all have to be treated individually. But I think everything should be steered on what our customers are complaining about. If we're getting complaints about odor or noise, those should be addressed. And as far as the aesthetics and beautification, to me, I don't think it's a good idea to make them too nice looking and call a lot of attention to them. My idea of beautification is blending in with the surrounding environment, out of sight, out of mind. Some of them have fences that probably need to be either painted or the plastic rods replaced, upgraded. And the other issue I see might be security. I mean, how well protected are they from vandalism or for intrusion? So those are the things that I would consider. I don't like, and tree might be a nice idea, but you have to consider what type of tree, because they require a lot of maintenance over time. And a lot of times the root systems can interfere with piping below and it can be problematic. So you need to be really cognizant of the type of species that you're putting in there. So I think that's that pretty much covers my thoughts on it.
So, you know, I echo those comments, right? When I look at this last slide on the action plan, things to consider: budget, scope, timeline, maintenance. Some of the things that we discussed over here was the fact that, you know, City of San Leandro has a tree program, and it basically means that we would have to partner with the city and just request something like that. Also, I think with the city, at least during my term, we did allocate a significant amount of money to the Arts Council for, doing arts or beautification. Because this is in a given community, particularly if it's in San Leandro's borders, because they have those funds, what I would suggest is working together with the community. If the community doesn't have any complaints, then I don't think this is an issue. If there are complaints by the community, or the community wants something done, then we have to find that source of funding, tap into those sources of funding that helps basically fund this program as well.
My comment is similar to Director Stelzman. My main thing is the safety and the functionality of the lift stations. If we, you know, if we're really taking care of the lift stations, they're functioning and they're safe as far as, you know, residents being able to tamper with them and or get hurt by them, I'm okay with it. I'm not so gung-ho on beautifying, but, you know, if there's a way to get a tree and it's no cost to us, I'm okay with it. But if we don't have any complaints about the lift stations, I think we can spend the money on maintenance or, you know, making sure that all of our lift stations are up to code and doing what they should do.
I will associate myself with all of my colleagues' comments. If you want to look into a tree for that, for Trojan, is that Trojan? Wickman, yes. Trojan. You know, I don't have a problem with that, but I do caution this business with tree roots. I'm very familiar with what they do because I've had to replace my lateral. So I'm not sure that there's any huge necessity to make them any prettier than they already are. They all look very well maintained to me. And short of major complaints or security issues, I would not be inclined to do anything more to them at the moment.
I agree generally with most of the comments I've heard. I think, Director Stelzman, you hit it off well, where you started with blending in with the surrounding environment. I think that's important. If it's like the railroad one in an industrial area, not a big deal. But if it's really smashed between homes, like the Trojan one or others, I think we should be a little cognizant of the neighbors and their just having them enjoy their neighborhood. Similar to the San Lorenzo one, which the district, Bachman, did a really nice job on that one with the stone facade. I'm not saying we add stone facade to any of these that we've seen, but it shows how the district has put thought into architecture when they put these in some neighborhoods. I do agree with the, I think it was, can you bring up Blackstone, the very first one? And if there's homes that are facing this, if there's a way, I don't know the condition of those slats. I can't really tell from those photos. But like Director Stelzman said, if there's a way to clean things up so they look a little fresher, I'm supportive of that.
Transmission line.
Yeah, put some Christmas lights in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with the comments that I've heard. And as far as a tree, I too agree. We don't want a tree type that will tear up roots. And the city is big on that one now because they get complaints all over the place.
Blackstone. It's right there. And it's in the cul-de-sac. Our first home is this home with their yard fenced. And the home over here.
Oh.
And it goes up the hill.
This is
Five Canyons?
Blackstone.
Blackstone. Yeah.
Believe me, those people, if they had an issue, you would hear it.
They're $1.8 million houses.
It's a nice neighborhood.
They're the attorneys and the policemen. And
we service the station, you know, at least weekly, and we have no complaints.
I think it just blends into.
It's not bad.
If we see any deficiencies, we will fix it. It's part of the maintenance.
There was one on the court that was serving that you mentioned, the Ballard.
Ballards?
Awesome.
Yeah. Ballard. What is that?
Ballards?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a silver one. I mean,
Canyon Ridge.
Yes. It was at the end, you know. Yes, I think that's it.
Oh, it's Clausen Act.
Clausen, yeah.
Won't let me go down that street.
It's because there's nothing
down there. There's nothing down there. See, it's not blue.
But can we just bring up that slide that had that picture of it? See, that to me is, it's just open.
We had a problem if the kid was on a skateboard.
You know, that to me is, if I don't know what we could do. I mean, you mentioned bollards. What is it? The correct
bollards. Are, yeah, you know what
they're. Yeah, I know what they are. Yeah,
they're just protective.
Something, you know, to me, an enclosure or something like that. For this, I would say yes, because it's like, but not for beautification, more for safety. Okay. And I don't know if there's any electrical stuff that's so open that, you know.
Everything's locked inside those cabinets. And you have to cut the lock off, similar to the other lift stations, to really access inside.
That, to me, is, you know, if we were going to focus some attention, it would be like, you know, what can we do to secure that a little bit more? But
this is a dead end street, though, right? This is a dead end street, and traffic speeds are typically 5-10 miles an hour. Right. It's okay. I mean, I, in the context of that, it may not be.
Yeah. Thing. Could be dangerous. I don't know. It's an attractive nuisance. That little, especially since you have a slope in there.
That's looking uphill, though, correct?
Correct. Right at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah, that's looking up. So a skateboarder wouldn't, well, maybe they would.
I didn't want to debate it. I'm just saying, for me, if that's, this is one of our lift stations that I would just like, is there anything else we could do to make it a little bit more secure and safe? And if it isn't, it's okay. But that's how I'm looking at these lift stations. You know, I don't know if putting a tree there would, you know, do anything. But, and I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm just saying, for me, the lift stations, if we are not getting complaints on them and they're secure and they're safe from people getting harmed,
have our maintenance manager, John McCauley, who wants to say something, if that's okay. He maintains these lift stations.
Sure.
Yes. Joe, go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I hear what you're saying about Clausen. That's actually where that picture is being taken. There's like a hill, like a cliff there. There's no way to like drive into that lift station. And it's at the bottom, literally, of that kind of cul-de-sac area. It'd be very difficult for it to really be hit, and that's why it's been safe this entire time. We haven't had any issues with it. It's in a nice neighborhood. You know, it hasn't had any anything be vandalized, and so we haven't had any issues or complaints from the neighbors. And I would actually be a little cautious because that house is so close to there. I wouldn't want to put anything bigger. That tree does a pretty good job at blocking it from the side the neighbors get to see. They're not necessarily on that side of the lift station.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
No problem.
Director Lee, did you ask?
I think we're off the beautification track, right? If we were, right, I would just also mention cultural sensitivity. You know, I would call back in 2000 when the Huron Bay Board of Directors decided to use a different speed designation, 14, which if you understand the Chinese culture, the number 4 is a very bad luck, right? And I'm sure that we wouldn't want to like put a whole bunch of sixes on any beautification, but sensitivity to things that folks would not like.
I think
the question today, or the objective today, is whether or not there's direction from the board to staff to create a beautification policy for the lift stations.
Well, I think there's some, well, let's talk about it. Guidelines, I would say, blending in with surrounding environment, what we heard. Does that need a policy, or is that just something we can
I don't think we need a written policy. It seems to me that the staff at Oro Loma for the last 95 years has been very mindful of making things appear to be residential clean. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't have a problem with any of the lift stations I saw, other than a tiny bit of consideration for security. Yeah. I don't think we need a policy. So
that they're so different characteristically, I think it'd be really hard to pigeonhole everything into a policy. So I would pass on that idea. I mean, it seems to me the only thing that we're really thinking about today of any serious change is the idea of putting a tree in front of Trojan. And I don't think we need a policy for that.
I'm very grateful that we did this, though. I don't think in my 10 years I've ever seen any consideration given to where the lift stations are. And I wouldn't even mind, I hate to put this out there, but I wouldn't mind having a tour of the lift stations sometime. It would probably take a whole day, though.
I had it.
Well, you were privileged.
Okay.
I did not.
Let's go do that.
Well, sounds like no policy, but a tree at Trojan and looking at the city potentially to give us that tree and then figure out the maintenance, whether it's probably would be Oro Loma. I think that we maintain what's on our property.
We need a meeting to say where the tree should be planted.
Oh, but am I hearing the board as a whole wants a tree at Trojan? I caution that because there are means that go into our lift station that are vital to Trojan at that wet well. So I'll take direction from the board, but I just need to be clear about it.
I think we're saying to look into it. I'm saying we commit to it yet. We just want to look into the possibility of it.
Root friendly trees, because there are trees that specifically prevent sidewalk damage. You don't want sidewalk damage and also tunneling into pipes.
I'm not sure that we need a tree there. I know that Fred would like to have it, but I'm not convinced that that's what we need to do at that Trojan. Can you pull that up on a map so we can see it again in person? I'm sorry to do that to you, but.
Oh, no worries.
It happens to be the number one lift station. And I knew that.
The address, which is.
This one.
Oh, there it is, yeah. So.
I was in charge of some of the projects, so. Oops.
It's a landmark.
Yeah. It says down the street looking east, and that's looking west.
Oh, can I just ask another question? Would it be possible to just put some like smaller bushes in the front that didn't have a lot of roots? I mean, I think it's fine the way it is, but I am not interested in a tree. I just have too many troubles with trees. And I don't see any reason for our agency to have to deal with those kind of issues.
What's the height of that stack, the surge stack?
20 feet at least.
I could do anything. I'd cut off the stack, but I'm sure that would cause problems.
A safe tree could visually hide that smokestack in the middle of a neighborhood.
If you had a tall tree. You also have the power lines here, too, to deal with.
It would have to grow for 30 years.
Some vegetation, whether it's a tree or shrubs or something.
I'm going to work with the landscape company or arborist. I don't know anything about trees, honestly. So if board wants me to do that, I will. I'll look for some budget to explore that.
Spending any money.
I'll just make a statement. I think that you have a better use of your time.
And money.
Board. Two things. People, no one has complained about this. A, B, I think what we're seeing is an aesthetic objection just because it doesn't really bring with the architecture of the neighboring homes. I mean, how old is that paint on there? Is that the current color?
It's the current color.
Okay, so maybe if it was a lighter color, I don't know if just painting it would help. So it doesn't.
For the houses, it was built in 1950. So are those houses, 1950s houses? Most of them
from the mid 40s. Yeah. So just after that
development. They're lucky they can flush their toilets then. That's...
And just for the record, I have received complaints on the aesthetics of this pump station. Yeah. Two.
And did you turn them into Orloma or did they just call you personally?
Since I'm in the area, they talked to me about it and I relayed this to Jimmy maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And then that's why we're having this discussion today.
Well, I don't think you can get a tree big enough to cover that.
So. I mean, a tall tree would definitely have the kind of roots that you don't want there. So, and to, if you wanted to camouflage it, so I'm.
Well, like that little tree on the left of his home. That's a real nice looking tree.
Grow a whole lot.
That tree. That's
we have to buy it that large. And...
I'm sorry.
If there's a low cost way without hiring landscape architects and things, I think it would be a nice. To give to the community that has to live with this pump station right next to them.
Did your calls by the chance come from either of the neighbors on either side of that?
They were on Trojan. I can't remember exactly which houses they were.
Well, again, if you want my vote is no.
We're just trying to look for some middle ground. I think, I'm looking at, if you go to see more dates, right, you can actually look at it, what it looked like in March 2011. Those shrubs have just only grown a certain amount. I would probably support changing the shrubs, but not necessarily adding any trees because it could jeopardize our operations.
They grow very big, there are
shrubs that grow taller than that. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yes.
You asked to see it earlier. What year is that?
2011.
I can't see that. Sorry.
2011, and you can see 2014, 2017, and most recent 2022.
Well, I think I've spent enough time on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So to wrap this up, any support for any beautification of this site?
Anybody think about? No. Tree's probably not a good idea either, so.
Okay. Sounds like we move on. But it was a very good presentation. It was, like Sheila said, very educational. I've never seen all these myself.
So. I have, but I didn't see them from this perspective. And thank you for the history.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you to Joe that's online.
He's the maintenance manager.
Joe, you did a great job.
Yeah, nice presentation. Sure, for pulling things in the maps real time. Thank you. All right, so let's go ahead and move on. Next is a committee authority reports. Item number 8.1.
Page 40.
Salesman.
These are my report for the Personnel Safety and Public Information Committee meeting that was held on Wednesday, March the 6th. I called the meeting to order at 4:31. Director Lee and myself were present with General Manager Dang and Admin Services Manager Luna. No members of the public were present. We reviewed the status of strategic goals, and it should be noted that the strategic goals have been updated to reflect the current 10-year plan. The main change was keeping the goals aligned with the calendar year as opposed to the fiscal year. And those strategic goals are attached at the end of this report. We then reviewed the KPIs. You might note that as an updated format, the graphics are a little bit different. And both Director Lee and myself are very pleased with the changes here. Manager Luna also gave us a recruitment update. So the operations manager position has been filled, and we've met our new operations manager earlier at this meeting, Joseph, and his. Appointment to that position opened up a vacancy for a plant operator 2 position. And that recruitment to fill vacancy will commence in the near future. Manager Luna then reported that the recruitment for an electrical instrumentation technician is ongoing and interviews are scheduled for this week. We're also informed that a field engineer has submitted his resignation to the district and a recruitment has been initiated to fill that vacancy. And General Manager Dang reported that there will expect to be three retirements this year, which will lead to at least one additional recruitment. We moved on to staff and director comments. Director Lee thanked the staff for the work on the strategic goals and KPIs, once again showing his enthusiasm for the more informative data format. And I asked when the committee would be able to review the board travel policy. And General Manager Dang stated that that policy would be brought to the committee for review in May. And then I adjourned the meeting at 4:52 p.m. Questions?
It's fine. The Solid Roads Committee met on March the 11th. Both directors were present, as well as the staff. There were no public comments. There were no public individuals present. We reviewed the strategic goals. Brown reviewed the updated report with the committee. The committee inquired about the recycled contamination baseline and when the next waste characterization will be done. Brown said the data from the November 2020 audit will be used as the baseline. The next audit should be done after the container monitoring program has been in effect for a full year. The committee asked that the November 2020 data be added to the Solid Waste Strategic Goals Report. The committee also asked about requests for the litter pickup program support and the results since the program launched last April. Brown reported that there has been a handful of requests. She also said that the program is communicated through the various communication lines and is shared at community meetings such as CURB. The committee accepted the report. The strategic goals were attached. We then reviewed the container monitoring program, and the data was reviewed with the committee. Brown reported that the commercial customers who received 10 or more incidents were contacted by the Waste Management Recycle Education Representative Perla for program assistance. The committee noted that the residential table is missing the incident label for each waste stream. Trash, overage, recycle contamination, and organics contamination. I asked that the number of incidents and numbers of customers table include previous months for table include previous months for comparison. The committee would like to see a sample of the waste management incident letter that is sent to our customers. The committee accepted the report. And attached was the March Container Program, a monitor program incident report for January 20. We then went on to public education and communication. Brown reported for February that 33 commercial customers were provided program assistance, which included the right size of collection services, training, signage, and SB 1383 information. And also, February's Trash Talk had 30 attendees. The number of new customers for February and single families was 98, multi-families 2, commercial 8. New customers are sent the recycle calendar, which Brown gave us an example of the calendar. The committee accepted the report. Attached, you would see the residential bill insert the one for the city of San Leandro for the L3 residential customers and the commercial bill insert. We then reviewed the community engagement. Brown reported that no changes to the event calendar, so they're the same as last month. And then the staff and there were staff and director comments, and the committee thanked the staff for their work. And there being no further business, the meeting was adjourned at 10:18 a.m. Mm-hmm.
Any questions or comments?
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have a panel of 2 minutes for an appeal to District Griffin. Do we have a motion to approve?
Dr. Young, I'll move that item.
Director Duncan, I'll second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes unanimous. Thank you. Next is item number 9.1, new business. Jimmy, you want to kick that off?
Yes, this is related to the Consolidated Operations Building Project. It was completed 7 months ago, minus the punch list items that were approved by the Construction Committee. We asked if we can bring this to the board once the punch list items were complete. They are now complete. So now we're bringing this to the board for final approval and to submit a notice of completion to the county.
I'd like to move agenda item 9.1.
It's Director Lee. I'd like to second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Action Committee, thanks you very much. It's a great building.
Yes, it's a beautiful one.
Fabulous.
How long ago did we start that building, Jimmy? The whole process?
We approved it when Jason was in.
About three years?
It was 3 or 4 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Or before Benny and Paul arrived.
Yeah, Bob Glaze was a big part of it.
Yeah, I remember we had a workshop right down there.
Yeah. Tables set up around. Yeah.
Good job. All done. Beautiful.
Okay, we'll move to item number 10, staff director comments. Staff?
Yes, a reminder to the board, there's the ACSDA dinner this Thursday evening. Also want to mention the board that we had about 20 reporters here last Thursday. It was a planned tour event. It was led by BACWA, Lauren Fono, the executive director, and the whole goal is to talk about nutrients and the upcoming permit that's being talked about by the regional and state water board, and what and the $11 billion in potential costs to the Bay Area residents amongst the 37 treatment plants. So that was just to get information out to the public, and they happily used our facility because we have a lot to showcase, and we were a good example to showing ratepayers what it takes to upgrade your treatment plant for nutrient removal. So there are some new stories out on Channel 2, Channel 7. As soon as I get those links, I'll definitely share them with the board.
Building the end for the conference.
Their new consolidated building. The one that we just
building.
The sign took fantastic photos of our facility that they showcased on the news.
Great, congratulations.
We also have a tour with the EPA tomorrow. Yes, so it's Luisa by
the San Francisco group?
It's the San Francisco
group. Okay, yeah.
So she's been a great partner with us. She's definitely in tune with all the regional board regulations coming up. She has a lot of new staff turnover at her offices. So she's bringing about 30 people with her tomorrow. It's a great tour. It's just to show them what a wastewater treatment plant looks like and what we're doing here as far as nutrient removal and horizontal levy and the micro V. Most of the staff that she bring out has, while they partake in environmental protection, have never set foot on the wastewater treatment plant before. So this will be a learning experience for her staff, and we're definitely happy to help educate her staff and help her along with this process. They'll be here at 10 to 12. There's a construction committee meeting tomorrow as well, which I will not be attending because of this event. UC Berkeley will be here as well. There's still graduate students who are performing research on the horizontal levy.
Discussed at our EPA meeting.
Our building's getting a lot of use.
Yes.
This is great.
It really is. And lastly, I just want to mention that we'll be going on vacation Friday. for 2 weeks. Bill Halstead, district attorney, will be in charge when I'm gone. I do plan on checking emails every day, although my responses may be a little delayed. But I will send an email out to the board before I leave, loading that information. That's all I had.
Nothing from me.
Okay, Director Salesman.
Just wanted to thank Jimmy for the presentation about lift stations. That was, I never saw it from that perspective either. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. And I wanted to add, I had the privilege of attending the CSDA workshop last week on policy and procedure writing. And I asked Patricia to forward you some information about that I got from there. And yeah, it's really a very good course. I think it was 2 3-hour sessions over 2 days. And two of the things you have to look at when reviewing the writing policy is to use plain language. And there's actually a website that explains what plain language is. And I think that was implemented during the Clinton administration back in the 90s when they wanted to revamp a lot of the federal policies. So that's a good resource to review. And the other thing that should be considered about policy is, of course, who is your audience. So I think it would behoove us to kind of look at this, at these resources when we're looking at our own policies and procedures through at the committee and at the board level. Thank you all to the staff once again for your hard work. And I'll pass it on to next director.
Thank you. I thought it was a great meeting. And again, it was good to see the lift stations from this perspective and also to have a little bit more knowledge on how they actually work. Since I have one, I really do understand it. Thank you, Patricia, always for the great goodies. We appreciate you. And Jimmy, I wish you the best vacation. You really deserve it. It was a good presentation. And I won't see you tomorrow, but I'll be back here tomorrow. And I will also be meeting on the 21st with HASPA. So that should be interesting. But I will also be at the dinner on Thursday. So that's it.
I want to echo the comments of my colleagues. And again, thank you for your service because what we do here, working together with a wonderful staff and, of course, the newest operations manager, it's we're going to do great things. Jimmy, have a wonderful vacation. You know, take lots of pictures. You don't have to report out, but it's optional.
Around the world.
Okay, I guess it's my turn. Is that correct, sir? I certainly associate myself with all the comments made down the line, especially Rita. She made some great comments. I would like to just congratulate Alex on the law firm and the new address. And I got the notice in my email today. And of course, Jimmy, your staff here is beyond reproach. I've been in public agency work for probably 4 decades, and I just think they're tops in my book of all the people I've ever worked with. So thank you for that. Thank you for the reports. I do have just one general comment for the board to consider, and maybe it's something the personnel committee could take up if everyone wanted to do something about it. I think it's, generally speaking, not necessary for us to read every word in our minutes that we report out on, since they're all sent to us and we read them before we get here. If there's some way to give the report in a way that sort of shortcuts all the detail and then ask for questions for those who have read and have questions. But that's just me. I don't think it's a waste of our time to read it, but I do think it's unnecessary. So that's you know what I'm talking about, all of you.
I will not respond.
Oh, well, you don't have to respond. I'm just.
Board has the option to move all of that to a consent calendar if they wish.
Well, I don't know that I'd want to move it to a consent calendar. I would like to hear sort of a a version of what happened at the meetings. I just don't think it's necessary for us. And I do it myself. I read every single word of the construction reports, and I'm not sure that it's necessary, but that's just me. And if nobody is agreeing to do anything about it, then we'll move on.
All right, thank you.
Well, you could ask if anybody wants to do
it. It sounds like getting a thumbs down over there. Okay, we'll keep reading. But you have the option, though. I mean, if you'd like not to do it.
I'll just sit here and watch you read all the words.
Okay. Any other comments, Director Young?
Well, she wants to make a comment.
No, I'm good.
It's okay. We'll keep moving. Okay, so I will make my comments. Nice meeting, Jimmy. Again, great presentation. Enjoy your vacation. Well deserved. I want to congratulate Joe Carlini again on your promotion. Thank you, Joel McCullough, for chiming in on that presentation. Thank you, everyone online. You are appreciated online there. And just want to wish, again, good job on the food. Alex, congrats. Chiming all the comments everyone's made. So nice meeting. And the staff is awesome. And our building is great. That operations, I'm so impressed with that building and all the use that we're getting out of it. So nice job all around. We'll go ahead and join the meeting at 6:22 p.m. Thank you. Good night.